Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight, and would you open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 in the Word of God this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and as you find your place here, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1 in the Word of God. And as I look around the room tonight, it is good to see Pastor Jason Pace and his son Austin is here with us this evening, visiting from Arizona and the Phoenix area there. And then also just look back and good to see Jason and Libby Stroll and Freddie and others that are in the area visiting. And we praise the Lord. Good to see y'all here tonight. And several others, look around. I will find you and I'll call you out. Please don't get offended. And oh, he didn't mention me tonight. You'll be okay. All right. It's just what my eyes can see at this time. And we do welcome you to the services this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Verse number 1, we're going to talk about this passage of Scripture here in just a moment. But let's read verse number 1 as we're standing out of respect for God's Word. Once again, if your health allows you to, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, would you look with me at verse number 1? The Bible says this: Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This evening, I want to preach a message entitled, The Example Church. The Example Church. Over the next several weeks and months looking ahead, we're going to do an in-depth study here in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to begin right here in verse number 1 of chapter number 1 and be making our way through. And tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about why we do this as a church congregation and preach in this manner. And then we're going to get some background this evening. And again, I do realize the time, and we'll get out of here at a great time at 9:30 tonight. Isn't that great? Why are you laughing? Of course, we'll get out of here right on time so we don't bug our nursery workers and others. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless the service. Father, as Pastor Chris just prayed, we do need you, Father. Lord, how foolish it would be to come in here and to think that we could do any of this on our own. Father, this is not a pep talk. Father, this is not us coming in and check out the circus this evening. We're not here to entertain. God, we've come here if our heart's right for one reason, and that is to hear from you this evening. I ask, Savior, that you'd lead, that you'd guide, that you would direct. Savior, that everything is done and everything that we say and everything that we do would be to honor and glorify your name, the name Jesus Christ. I ask, Savior, that as we in here tonight gather, that, Father, we would not look around the room at the person who's not here that needs this or the person who's sitting at the end of the pew, but, Father, may we look at our own hearts and lives this evening. Lord, help us to take the Word of God as a mirror and say, Lord, just speak to me. Father, once again, a day and age, we take a lot more time getting physically ready for church than we do spiritually ready. Forgive us, Savior. May we pray right now, God, I need this. Lord, lead me. Lord, may we not be afraid of the conviction tonight, but may we embrace it and change where we need to change. Father, as we give the background, Lord, it's not as easy to preach through, but God, as we teach the Word of God, as we preach the Word of God, may it be done with compassion, but also with boldness. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, we're really going to begin a background, kind of looking at this book, getting a context of where we are coming from and also where we are going. As we look at a book like this, and as we begin to study out, and we may begin to ask, why do we approach a passage of Scripture in an expository manner? That means exegeting the Word of God and taking it, whether it be verse by verse or a conglomerate of verses together. And why do we begin to dig into the Word of God in such a way that we would take Wednesday nights and kind of devote it to an entire book of 1 Thessalonians? Well, the first reason would be this, is because you and I get the whole context of the Word of God. We're able to dig in and get the background, the historical background. We're able to see where the author is bringing us from, but then also kind of looking culturally speaking at us today, which you and I can get out of a book. You see, oftentimes in 2021, in the society that we live in, there are many of cults that have taken the Word of God and they begin to take it out of context. They begin to take passages of Scripture and they begin to apply it things that are not applicable anymore. This is probably one of the main reasons that we see those who speak in tongues or those who believe they have the gift of healing. It's from doing the exact opposite of what we're going to be doing in these passages of Scripture. They pick and choose verses that align with what they want it to align with. Now, watch very carefully before we're so quick to judge maybe other religions out there, other cults out there. Can I just put it this way? Even as independent Baptists, you and I have to be vitally careful that we don't begin to do the same, that we begin to take the Word of God and apply it to maybe a preference that we want or perhaps a standard that we want in our life. Remember, friends, as we approach the Word of God, it is to be our foundation. It is to be our stepping stone. It is to be our cornerstone. It is to be everything that you and I base our life on. That means this. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're a college student and here this evening, all the way up to maybe the fourth quarter of your life, friend, may you and I constantly get back to the Word of God. Because as we've talked about so often, what is going to change Marion County and Indianapolis and Hendricks County and the surrounding area is not going to be our preference. It's not going to be what standard we have built up. Excuse me, friend. It's not going to be religion and or politics. It's going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen tonight. Friend, we have to get back to the Word of God, applying the Word of God in such a way that we understand, historically speaking, where we're at. But then also, secondly, the Holy Spirit is able to guide us through difficult passages. Understand this. There are passages in the Word of God that I guarantee you have probably never heard of or heard preached or taught in a Sunday school class. There are areas in the Word of God that, to be honest with you, they're not always easy to comprehend. I'm telling you, passages like even explaining the triune God or perhaps looking at the antediluvian period and beginning to explain exactly the context of the globe and the earth and how people were able to live over 900 years. There's a lot of passages of scriptures as you approach, like, yeah, man, that's kind of difficult. Okay, well, let's get back over to John chapter 3, and let's just preach on John 3:16 again. Okay, look, it's easy to go to those areas, but when we preach in an expository manner, what we're able to do is we're able to dig in and dive into those passages of scripture that is going to grow us. The third reason, I know I'm moving quick tonight because I understand the time, and I want to get into this introduction, but the third reason we're going to dive into it, and once again, exegeting the verse by verse through this book, is that you and I are commanded of the Word of God to study it. That means taking the Word of God and beginning to look at it, and not just, well, you know, this is my hobby horse, or well, I got my one Proverbs in a day, and so I'm good. Is reading a Proverbs a good? Absolutely. Do we want it to dig into the Word of God? Without a doubt. There are verses in the Word of God that is our favorites and we love it. Matthew 5:16 is my life verse, and I enjoy going to it, and I preach from it, and I try to apply it to our family and our kids' lives. But the Bible says this: study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Therefore, as we come across the Word of God, you and I must be a studier of the Word. Now listen, every man in here for just a moment. You and I are commanded to study. That means this, gentlemen. If we are only digging into the Word of God when pastor opens up the Word of God, we are spiritually starving to death, gentlemen. Ladies, understand this. You want to be a good grandma? You want to be a good mother? You want to be a good wife? You want to be a good steward of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you ought to be in the Word of God. Friend, in the day and age we live, we spend plenty of time on Facebook. And look, I'm not judging anybody tonight. I've done my fair share of Instagram. Or maybe Twitter or Facebook. I don't know if you noticed today, but it's like Disney Day or something like that, and everybody in the world is changing their faces to some kind of character that's on Facebook. Understand? Well, it's amazing. Now, again, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not sitting here saying, well, yeah, Darlene did it, and I know Mrs. Williams did it, and others, so that maybe I just haven't had time to do it yet. Maybe my wife has. I'm not sure yet. I'm not picking on these ladies this evening, but I am saying this. Is it not easy to get onto a filter and to spend 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes? The older you get, I feel like the longer it takes, you know what I mean? Little five-year-old flying through there, and we're like, now what does this button do? But nonetheless, isn't it easy to jump on, gentlemen, to sports and ESPN, and for even some of us, I mean, I'm not making funny, I'm right there with you, but isn't it easy to jump on the Weather Channel and really dig into it's going to rain at 6:23, and how humid is it going to be, and what's the sun index today? Is it 8 or 9? What's the air outside today? Look, we can spend 15, 20 minutes, my goodness, on the weather that covers 24 hours, and then spend, excuse me, friend, zero time in the Word of God. And then we wonder why America is the shape that it's in. Then we wonder why families are one out of two are getting divorced in the Christian realm. Then we wonder why our family's falling apart. Then we wonder why God doesn't seem to be talking to us. Friend, what I'm saying this evening is that you and I are commanded to study the Word of God, and we cannot rely just on a Sunday school teacher or the blog that we get on or Pastor Shepherd on Sundays and Wednesdays. Friend, you and I ought to be in the very Word of God each and every day. It ought to be a priority for you and I. Does anybody believe that? Say amen tonight. It ought to be. So therefore, as we begin to study God's Word, it becomes very much alive. Now, as we look at the example church, this is probably all we're going to get over the next 23 minutes here, but I just want to look at the background here for just a moment. Now, listen very carefully. The background. The author of this book is the Apostle Paul. We're going to see much of his background at this church, and what involves this church is Acts chapter number 17. Now, if you're taking notes tonight, here's what I encourage you. Write down Acts chapter 17, and over the next several weeks, it's going to give you just insight at what we're going to be talking about. The book is written here at about A.D., we believe from 50 to 52, somewhere right in there, A.D. The church who it's written to is the church of the Thessalonians, as we just read in chapter number 1, and verse number 1. There is a purpose to this book. Now listen, watch. Over the next several weeks, we're going to understand that Paul has a main purpose for this book. This purpose really is to encourage the church to stand fast against persecution. Now watch very carefully. For you and I, reading this letter that Paul is writing from him and two other men, what we begin to see is that Paul is writing them to encourage them that, look, there's going to be persecution. And we do understand that persecution did come to this church. Therefore, what you and I are admonished and or encouraged when we read this passage is that we don't have to look at it in the context of 2,000 years ago, and it's not applicable for you and I, but we saw over the last, I guess, 8 or 9 weeks on Wednesday nights is that in Acts chapter 27 and Acts chapter 28, remember that turbulent journey of Euryclidon that we've been going through? Understand that you and I also are going to be going through the persecution. You and I are going to be going through the tough circumstances and the difficulties. You and I'm not making fun of anybody in here. Look, I'm just honestly, I think that you and I feel like the persecution has come to the church because we're arguing over vaccines or masks or Democrats or Republicans. Friend, let me just put it this way. Nowhere in Revelation do we read about persecution of masks or vaccines and or social distancing of 3 feet, 6 feet, 10 feet, whatever you want to do. Friend, understand, I think that the church of today thinks that we're being persecuted by these things. Look, if that's where we're at, we are in big trouble, friend, as we face the future. Because real persecution is going to come to the church of Jesus Christ. Who is that? Well, is that Cross Point Baptist? Let me put it this way. That is you and that is me as saved believers. Hard times are coming. You say, Pastor, I don't like to hear that. You know, I really don't either. I like America, and I like where we're at. I like iPads, and I like coffee, and I like going in the grocery store and the shelves being full, and I like the smell of cut grass and the freedom that you and I have. Look, I love all of these things, and would we love to keep it this way? Without a doubt. Should we pray that way? Absolutely. Why? So that we can continue to get the gospel out. But friend, let's just put it out there, get down to the nitty-gritty. It's not always going to be like this. And there is a day and age coming when there will be tough choices for the American Christian family. Not just the pastors. It may start with the pastors. I preached here before, and we're not live streamed this evening, so we're not live streamed tonight, so it gives to Pastor Chris. I'm going to change my own message. I can preach wherever I want. It's not going out there, but don't pull out your phones and start recording. I'm not going to go crazy, but I think I could be a little bit more for our family tonight, okay? Understand this. The government eventually is going to be after the church. These little changes here and there, that's not a big deal, it's not a big deal. Yeah, well, to be honest with you, some little things out there don't seem like a big deal, but you fast forward 10 years and you look at where we're going to be at, and it's we are going to be in trouble. The little things like taxation against churches and, against non-exempt and religions and these type of things, it's coming. I really believe Brother Miller, Eric Miller is right, that it's going to come through the schools. They're going to start attacking the schools. And that is their foot in the door. And friend, let me put it this way. There are going to be tough choices that I believe in my generation that we are going to have to make. And it's going to be even worse for those kids or our kids that are coming up behind us, if the Lord tarries. You know, one generation shall not pass. I really believe probably all of us in this room are going to be raptured up out of here. Wouldn't that be great? Say amen tonight. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? We'd have to worry about this anymore. See you later. Wave the old world goodbye. Wait with the Lord up there for a couple years. Then come down on our horses. And that's just going to be so fun. Enter into the millennium kingdom. Find me on my little beach somewhere. And we'll hook up for 1,000 years. Then we'll go live with him forever. But nonetheless, we're going to have tough choices to make. Now, George, this is the honest truth. I really believe, Brother Eric, that the day and age will come, even in Indiana, where this pastor is going to have to choose. Do I side with politically correct and not preach against homosexuality anymore and jump on the love train and jump on the hashtag everybody wins? Or do I continue to preach what thus saith the Lord? You say, that'll never happen. Friend, look what's taken place over the last 10 years. Did you ever in your life think that we'd come to a place where they are putting bills out all over the place where we are now not just talking about homosexuality, but now we're talking about a 4-year-old can choose whether they are a male or a female, and that the adults should listen to a 4-year-old and be able to give them the surgeries that they want at 4 years old to pick what gender they are? Do you ever think we'd be there? Well, we're there. Isn't it a wild world we live in? I feel like, I'm taking a little bit of time here, but that's okay. We got until the Lord comes back to get through this book, so just follow me for just a second. I believe there used to be, not so long ago, that even the lost world had what was called, you ready for this? Common sense. I don't think we have common sense anymore. Like, I think about some of these things. A 4-year-old can't even go to the bathroom by themselves most of the time, and they're supposed to pick what gender they want to be. That has nothing to do with the 4-year-old. It has to do with the lost heart of the mom and the dad. Well, we can sit back and we can laugh and, oh, it's funny, and, oh, I don't know if we'll ever see that day. Friend, that's why it is so vitally important that you and I are getting the gospel out. The tracks ought to be flying from our cars. We do have some cases of water left. I think we do. I haven't looked back there. We got cases of water left with our logo and a Bible verse on there and just an invite. Take another case of water this evening if you've already handed them out. And listen, why? Because God is coming back. And what Paul begins to do here is this whole purpose of this letter is written to encourage them that, listen, understand, you are going to face persecution. So how does he encourage them? Well, he's going to encourage them in several ways that we're going to look at over the next several weeks. So let me just touch on these real quick as we just stay on the screen, the example church. First of all, he commends their strong faith and love and hope. We're going to see that here in just a couple of moments and verses through the next couple of weeks. Verse number 1, 2, and 3. Do you understand that this is still our job today? He commends them, watch now, for their strong faith and their love and their hope. Now look, pastor can talk about gender identity and pastors, we looked at 2 weeks ago, we could talk about being woke, and we've talked about often, about a month and a half ago, did we not, Brother George? Remember, we stood up and we talked about racial tension that's even here in Indianapolis, and the color of your skin, and we've talked about all these things that's kind of taken place in our world today. But let's kind of be encouraged for a moment that you and I still ought to have faith and love and hope. Now look, I don't mean to bust your bubble, but your hope ought not to be in the pastor. Somebody say amen. You can say amen right there. You know, there's a lot of people that put their hope in a pope. Our hope is not in this man. Our hope is not in, well, hopefully we can get the parking lot done. Hopefully, you know, Brother Schellenberg just gave us an update. And if you look at that spreadsheet that we handed out this evening, you understand that God's blessing in a great way. But friend, let me just tell you for just a moment. Look, even though there's close to, I guess now, $1 million, $950,000 in our bank accounts, friend, that could be gone tomorrow. Our hope is not in that bank account. Our hope is not in, well, hopefully we have a good summer. Well, hopefully this, hope. No, our hope is looking for the blessed hope, and that is for the trumpet to sound and Jesus Christ to come back and to resurrect us out of here. And friend, I'm just put it this way. That ought to be something that you and I smile and rejoice about. And in a day and age where many, through Corona, had their faith tested, may you and I continue to be a people, watch now, that has faith in the Word of God. Why? Because standards change and preferences change and religion changes and people change and these bodies change. But here, friend, understand the Word of God does not change. Our God endures forever. Therefore, our faith is not in politics or who's in the White House. It's in God. He admonishes them, encourages them. He's saying, look, I just want to tell you, I want to encourage you. You've had faith and you've had hope and you've had love. But secondly, he answers the malicious charge against himself. As we dig into chapter number 2, he's going to encourage them that, look, some of the things that you have heard, they're not right. Especially in chapter number 2, verse number 1 and 2, as we dig in there, we're going to begin to see that he's encouraging them and he's correcting them on maybe some of the stuff that they've heard. Now look, watch up here. Understand that in the world that we live in, the day and age that we live in, this world really, I feel like, is getting more and more mean. It just is. I know we're supposed to be accepting of everyone, but do you ever feel like we're supposed to be accepting of everyone, but nobody's accepting of us? Anybody ever felt that way before? Or is it just me? Surely. Okay, Brother Mel, me and you, that's about it. I'm just telling you, they're mean out there. It was not, and look, I'm a millennial, but it was a time not too long ago that even in politics, you would see people reaching across the aisle for the American people and getting things done. And that was not too long ago. Now we've come to this divide that if you don't agree with me, it's almost this bully mentality that we've seen. And how we've seen it affect the church, we really saw that come out during 2020 and the whole coronavirus that, man, it's like we all became doctors and we all became professionals and we all became experts at science. And if you didn't agree with me and what I think, it was this divide and was this awfulness and it was this meanness over the most minuscule of things. Friend, if that's how fast the church is going to crumble, we are in dire shape when Satan really starts attacking. Oh, friend, listen. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for what? One another. I've talked about this so many times for visitors with us. Just hang on for a moment. We're not always going to agree on everything. We're just not. I've used you several times through talking about this, that you grew up in a different generation than I did. And we don't agree on everything. And my top button's unbuttoned. And Pastor, yours is buttoned tonight. And it doesn't mean that he's more godly. I'm more godly. And look, he's a hoary head. I'm getting there very quickly, as you can tell here. But we're different generations. But understand this. Even though we don't agree maybe on style or maybe colors or even how to button our top button, can I just tell you this? We are brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the foolish things ought to be set aside. And to be honest with you, I don't mean to put it like this, but you kind of got to put it like this. To be honest with you, who cares over the preferences of this world? Well, I'm telling you what, Miss Laura, I would never get on Facebook and change my, you know, emoji into a character or whatever. I'm just throwing out words there, but I would never do that. And I'm just telling you, so who cares? If that's what we are so upset about, and I'm totally using you as an illustration, but if that's what we're fighting about, whoa, we're in big trouble. Meanwhile, people are dying and going to hell. And we'll spend an eternity there. Excuse me, is what I just said affected us at all? While we sit back and bully others into how we think, or excuse me, let me put it this way, we feel. The Marion County area is full of 2.2 million people. And I would say, Brother Jim, I don't know for sure, but I'd say a huge amount of those are lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. We don't have time, Brother Josh, to sit here and fight each other, my family versus your family. We have to come together and be so centered in the gospel that it is the main focus of our lives. And when someone doesn't agree with us, it does not give us the get-out-of-jail-free card to treat that person in a cruel or mean way. If you believe that, say amen. Why don't lift each other up? Pray for each other. Help each other. Encourage each other. You see, Paul admonishes them and encourages them. Man, your faith is huge. Your hope is huge. Your love is huge. Even the way that people have treated me, we're not going to treat others that way. But number three, he encourages the church to stand fast against persecution and to live holy lives. Beginning in chapters 3 and really moving through chapter 4 all the way through verse number 12, we're going to be looking at kind of this centered thinking that understand you and I are commissioned to live holy lives. The Bible says this, be ye holy as I am holy. Now hold on, look up here. Now watch. I know I'm talking to a home crowd tonight, so I just kind of want to once again kind of approach it this way. Listen, friend. The way that you and I live is not driven by... You ready for this? Now look, I don't want to knock anybody off the horse tonight, but I want you to tune in. Are the way that you and I are driven or pushed to live, not to be driven by the way that someone said something up, maybe back in the 70s or the 80s and 90s, and this was the only correct methodology, this was the only correct, we have to stay right here. Can I tell you something, friend? There are many churches around the country that are running 20 people, and it happens to be all their family, and they become a little clique or a country club because they live in this little bubble, and they're driven just constantly on, well, look, live a holy life and live a good life, and it was said here, and so this is where we got to stay. But friend, let me put it this way. We're also not driven to live a life that is just pushed to where, well, it's culturally relevant. It's just, well, this is new and this is cool and this is great. And for others, this is groovy, okay? This is where we need to go. And this is what everybody else is doing. Can I just tell you, friend, now, what everybody else is doing may not actually be scriptural or right or doctrinally correct. Therefore, it's not living, watch, back here, and it's not living up here. To be honest with you, a false balance is an abomination. It is living a Christ biblical, biblicist, balanced type of life to where this is the answer to everything. To everything. You see, Dirk, you and I can battle on a lot of things. But when it comes to the Word of God, we ought to be right in line with each other. Right in line. There's no back and forth. Brother Stroll was here this evening, and Jason, you're getting married here in 2 days, and we're so happy. I think I actually introduced Libby Stroll, so I apologize, Libby Lidkay, but you're going to be married here in a little bit. Can I just tell you, Jason, you've grown up a lot of your life in a pastor's home, and you know, there's some things we don't agree on. Teams we don't agree on. You're super media driven. I'm not that great with media. Although, I think I did a pretty good job with this tonight, nonetheless. Some of you are thinking, what is that in the middle? I have no idea, but it was a cool slide, okay? Now watch, I think I did a good job with that, but you're probably looking at that and saying, oh, that's awful, and I can't see the white, and it just, you know, we may not agree on everything, but you know what we can't agree on? Everything that's in this book.
And here's a young man who's about to be married. What we can agree on is that we ought to treat our wife with honor and respect. Men, help me out tonight. Amen. What we do agree on, ladies, is that there is a submission to husbands and there's a leader in the home. And what we can agree on is that we all want to raise our kids, not with this yes, sir, yes, ma'am attitude. Is that bad? Not at all. But we don't want just the outside. We also want something on the inside to be different, and that is this, that they have a love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a holy life. That is a life that's looking at Jesus, our example, and following the way that He would have us to go. But number four, if you're writing notes this evening, Paul reinforces the great hope of God's return and the resurrection of those who have already passed. The end of verse number 13 of chapter number 4, we begin to be reminded that He is coming. Now listen, watch very carefully. He's coming. Friend, if you and I were able to know when God was coming back, we knew He was coming back. I wonder how different, we knew the exact moment, how different our lives would be. Now, no man knoweth the hour, so please don't take out of here, Pastor Shepherd knows. No man knoweth the hour. No, we don't know when He's coming back. It could be right now. Right now. It could be right now. It could be tomorrow. We don't know when He's coming back, but He is coming. So let me ask you, how different would we live our lives if we knew tomorrow at 12:53, Jesus was coming back? How different would we live our life? Moms, dads, how different would we have spoken to our kids today? How many people at the gas station or at Kroger would we have talked to? How different would we live our lives? See, we have guests coming and we get ready. Pastor Pace and his son are staying with us this evening, and I knew you were coming, brother, and I don't know if you noticed, but the carpet was vacuumed. That was Carrie. I didn't do that, but the carpet was vacuumed, and everything's all cleaned, and even got Bear, our dog, little poodle, a haircut yesterday, and man, we were ready for a visiting pastor to be in our house, and we did a good job. Why? We knew you were coming. We prepared. To be honest, if you walked in our house and it was all torn apart, it was dirty, and the sheets weren't on the bed, and your guest bathroom just looked like five kids lived there, you know what I'm saying, and it was just awful, you'd be thinking, man, what? Did they not know I was coming? That's what we think, wouldn't we? How ashamed might we be if God comes tonight? Did I not warn them that I was coming? Did I not tell them I was on my way? I think I even told them, look for these signs. And those signs are happening right now. See, in this book, we're going to begin to dig in that His coming, friend, it's very soon. Well, my grandparents said that, and my dad said that. You remember when our... Okay, well, if they were saying it 30 years ago, how much closer are we? Could He go another 30 years? He's God. He can do whatever He wants. But He said, look for these signs, look for these things. And we've been looking, and friend, can I just tell you, it's happening around the globe. Are we ready? If He came tonight, are we ready? 1 Thessalonians, we're going to look over the next several weeks at this example